Welcome to the Tanakh Podcast. Today, Sefer Chagai, Chapter 1. And our learning, as always, is dedicated to our Chayalei Tzva Hagana Yisrael for their safety and for their success, for the swift return of all of the hostages, and for the healing of all those wounded in this war in Gaza. Welcome to the world of Sefer Chagai, and welcome to the period of Bayit Sheni, the Second Temple. I think in order to understand our book, which opens Bishnat Shtayim L'Daryavish HaMelech, which starts in the second year of King Darius, I think we need to do a little bit of a historical background. So let's do it right now. The Jews go into exile. The people of Judea, the temple is destroyed. In 586 BCE, the Babylonians destroy the temple. And we all know that the people go in exile for 70 years. Well, we might all know that, but it's not entirely correct. 586 BCE, the Jews go into exile. Some go by the rivers of Babylon. Others, as we read in Jeremiah, go down to Egypt. And most of the Judeans end up leaving the land. In the year 539, the Persian Empire takes over from the Babylonian Empire. It's amazing. The city of Babylon, the Babylonian Empire falls without even a fight, and the Persians take over. And the leader of the Persians is Cyrus the Great, the great leader Cyrus Koresh. And as we read it in the opening lines of Sefer Ezra, he issues a proclamation which allows all different populations to go back to their lands, including the Jews. And he says he'll even pay for the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. The Jews are welcome to go back to Judea and to build their temple and to settle there. And all of the Jews in the diaspora should help them. And that's 539 BCE. And the Jews the next year return, maybe 538, 537. In other words, how long were the Jews really away from the country? Only 50 years. The Jews come back. They come back to their various different towns. And if you look at Ezra, the Perek Bet, you will see a list of all different towns. They return back to an area sort of very close to Jerusalem, with sort of in a radius, a one-day walk of Jerusalem. They can't go too far up north because the Samaritans are in control of the north. They can't go too far south because the kingdom of Edom has expanded into the Hebron hills. And therefore, they're there in a certain radius around Jerusalem. And in the year, they come back at around Tisha B'Av. And already that year, they gather in Jerusalem to set a foundation stone for the temple. And they, you know, with great fanfare, decide that they are going to actually restore their temple in Jerusalem, as they have been allowed to do by Cyrus. And that's happening in around the year 537, around then. So did they manage to build the temple? The answer is they didn't. As we see in Ezra chapter 4, Samaritans came along and said, you know, we want to build with you. And they said, what do you mean? You're not Jewish. You know, we're going to build our own house. And as a result of which, the Samaritans started piling on a lot of lobbying and pressure to central government in Persia. And a message was sent back to stop the building. The building had to stop, and everything grinds to a halt. It's true that, you know, tens of thousands of Jews have come back to Eretz Yisrael, have come back to Yerushalayim. However, the Beit Mikdash has not been built. And that's, as I say, around the year 537. And now we're going to go forward another 17 years. Cyrus comes and goes, there's another king, and now here we are in the second year of King Darius. And it is at this point that apparently there is a new window of opportunity, maybe with a new king and a new regime, to see things, to see the world differently. And this is when we enter to this age, Bishnat Shtayim, the Daryavish HaMelech, בחודש השישי ביום אחד לחודש, on the first day of Elul, in the second year of Darius, the word of God came to Haggai Hanavi, to Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel, Pachat Yehuda, ve'el Yehoshua ben Yotzadak, Kohen HaGadol Lemor. So Haggai is addressing two people. Number one, Zerubbabel. Right, you remember that line in Malsor, Kates Bavel, Zerubbabel. The end of the Galut of Bavel is Zerubbabel. Well, indeed, Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel is the governor of Judah on behalf of the Persians. He's the political leader of the kingdom. And Yehoshua ben Yotzadak is the Kohen HaGadol. So here we are in the second year of Darius. Haggai is talking to the leader of the political leader of the Jewish people and the Kohen Gadol, and he says, Ko amar Hashem Tzvaot, Lemor ha'am hazeh amru, lo et bo et beit Hashem lihibanot. One of the most powerful techniques that a prophet can use is when he quotes the people. If he can quote the headline from today's newspaper, or he can quote, you know, something that the people are saying, then they're sort of caught. They can't deny it. And he says, I know what the people are saying. Lo et bo et beit Hashem libanot. This is not the time to build the temple. In other words, people are suggesting maybe build the temple, and everybody's, you know, saying, no, it can't be the time. Let's keep reading, and maybe we'll understand. Vayidavar Hashem biyad Haggai hanavi lemor. The message comes back with Haggai, and he says, Hay lachem atem lashevet beveitchem sfunim v'abayit hazeh charev. Number one, he says, you've all made for yourselves beautiful homes, wonderful homes, and God's house is still in ruins. And therefore says God, simu levavchem al darakichem. Maybe you need to put your heart on your way. You need to think things over. You need to do some cheshbon nefesh, some soul searching. And now we're going to hear the reason why people thought that it wasn't time to build the temple. He says, Zera'atem harbeh v'havei ma'at. You sowed your fields with much, but you've only brought home a meager yield. Achol, you eat ve'ena silva. You don't feel satisfied. Shato, you drink ve'ena shochra. You don't even get drunk. Lavosh, you wear clothes ve'ein lachomlo. You don't feel warm. V'mistaker, mistaker al tzoron akuv. And the person who earns money feels like he's earning with a leaky bucket, right? Every time you take money out of the kaspomat, you take money out of the ATM machine, and then you look at your wallet and there's no cash left. We seem to be leaking money. What's going on here? Apparently, we're dealing with a time in which the economy is pretty bad. Everybody feels that they've put work into making the land bloom and nothing's happening. They've sown, but not much has come back. Even they eat, they don't feel satisfied. Nothing's good, everything's wrong. And in Pasuk Yud, we say, Al-kein alechem kalu shamay mital v'aretz kalay yivula. Apparently, there's been a drought. And there's been a problem. Chorev, there's been dryness, ala aretz, v'ala arim, v'ala dagan, v'ala tirosh, v'ala yitzar, v'ala shetotzi adama. In other words, the people are saying, God's not with us. The economy is so bad that this is a sign that God is not with us. And therefore, if God's not with us, we shouldn't build the Beit HaMikdash. However, Haggai is going to have other ideas. And this is what he says in Pasuk Zayin. Ko amar Hashem Tzvaot, simu levavchem al darkechem. Do some soul searching. Alu ahar, go up to the mountain. V'havetem eitz. And bring down timber. Uvenu habayit. And just build the house. V'eretzebo. And I will be happy with it. V'kavda, I will be honored. Amar Hashem. In other words, the people have interpreted the economic conditions as a sign that God's unhappy. But God says it's actually the other way around. He's unhappy because they haven't built the house. How can it be, he says, that everybody has gone to build their own homes and God's house is still destroyed? And that is why the economy is so bad. The economy is bad it was meant to be cajoling them, was meant to be stimulating them to soul searching so they would build the house. He says all you need to do is go up to the hills, cut the timber, start building the house. And he raises another problem here in Pasuk Tet. Panoel harbeh v'hinei lima'at. You expected so much when you came back from Babylon, and it's disappointed. Mehinei lima'at, it's become very little. He says, v'haveitem habayit, if only you build the house, v'nafachti bo, I will breathe into it. Yan manu mashem svahot, yan beiti asheu charev, it's my house, which is destroyed. Batem ratzimish v'beito, and each of you are building your own houses. In other words, what God is saying is, as some people have put it, if you build it, he will come. Or put it differently, it's not that things are bad and therefore you shouldn't build the temple. It's things are bad because you haven't built the temple. Very, very interesting prophetic message. Sometimes people will wait for perfect conditions, and when they don't act because things aren't absolutely pristine and perfect, they will simply end up not doing anything. What Haggai is saying is, act, get the ball rolling, start building the house, and eventually, stage by stage, things will get better. The chapter ends with, Vayiru ha'am mipnei Hashem, the people fear God. And Haggai gives another prophecy and says, in the name of God, Ani itchem l'um Hashem, I am with you, says God. I'm on your side. And at the end, we see here in Pasuk, Yudalad, Vayavol v'yasu malach b'beit Hashem tzva'ot Elohim. Amazingly, right? So unusual in prophecy. The prophet tells them to do something and they actually do it. Our chapter ends with the people actually listening to the prophet and starting to build the second Beit HaMikdash. Hi, I'm Alex Israel, and I want to thank you for listening to the Tanakh podcast. If you've enjoyed this, please give us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcast platform. And if you can, please consider contributing a small amount to support our work. See the Patreon link in the comments to this podcast. Thank you so much.